Anyone who has seen it from the air or from the ground knows it's a funny-looking thing. You know, that large white dome floating in Pearl Harbor? The golf ball, as many call it, is actually a sea-based ballistic missile radar that is capable of transoceanic travel. It's officially called SBX-1, and the military recently opened its doors to media. HPR's Ryan Finnerty was on hand for last week's tour and files this report.
If you work on the SBX-1, the daily commute requires climbing 13 stories of narrow, open-air scaffolding and catwalks. That's higher than the deck of an aircraft carrier. Let's just say, you wouldn't want to drop your keys. The sea-based X-band radar is the only ship of its kind in the world. It was built using an off-the-shelf oil rig from Norway, which was heavily modified in Brownsville, Texas by the Missile Defense Agency. My guide today is Bob Dees. He's a retired Navy officer and has been managing the SBX program for 17 years.
SBX is mobile, so as we drive around the ocean, we change what the defended area is.
The SBX is so large, it couldn't even fit through the Panama Canal. It had to be carried around the southern tip of South America on a heavy lift cargo ship. On the football field-sized main deck, the giant white bubble, called a radome, reaches 250 feet above the ocean surface. The radome looks rigid, but it's actually made from several layers of heavy-duty canvas and resin.
Two layers of Vectran for strength. They're 90 degrees from each other to help prevent any ripping. Urethane in between. And then the outer layer is a hydrophobic and anti-ultraviolet damage coating.
Like a sports stadium, the radome is held up by air pressure. A higher pressure is maintained under the dome than Earth's atmosphere. You actually have to go through an airlock to get inside.
We're in the airlock, so we let the air out. We filter air and blow it in, and we've got a vent at the top, so we're continually changing the air, and it circulated to blow around.
What's the air pressure inside?
It's equal to, at the low wind, about 2 inches of water. So very, very little. That's fractions of pounds per inch. Then we get up above 11 if the winds get above 80 knots. So then your ears will really pop as we come through.
11 inches of water.
11 inches of water, which is, you'll see the radome is got a lot of square inches for providing that. When we had the repair work up on top, the guys said they could feel no give to the radar. We had to head it up at the stage 3, 11 inches of pressure.
In May, the SBX returned from a deployment that lasted more than 500 days. Those repairs Bob mentioned marked the first time in the ship's 15 years of service that the radome required patching. Once inside the dome, the massive radar, weighing 4.8 million pounds, rises 8 stories above us. 45,000 individual transmitters allow the SBX to see an object the size of a baseball from over 2,500 miles away. And it can look in any direction by rotating on a 360-degree track. Says, newer radars may be more powerful, but few can match the unique flexibility of the 15-year-old SBX.
The large aperture is what is really special about the radar. Largest X-band phased array radar in the world. We're actually in the Guinness Book of World Records. Most of them are a fixed sight. Those radars have a greater field of view than SBX, where we have some limitations on the amount, but we can turn. We can elevate up to 90 degrees and turn back and forth in order to scan.
5 defense contractors provide the ship's 75-person crew, who do everything from navigate to cook meals. There are typically no uniformed military personnel on board. While underway, the crew live in quarters that Dees, who remember was a career Navy officer, says are more spacious than what he had while in uniform.
This is an example of the stateroom. This is a one-person stateroom, where most of the staterooms on board are two-person and bunk beds. Each of them has a TV, they all have telephones, and they've got the bunks. The two-person is a bunk bed arrangement. And then they also have the showers and heads, the toilets, connected. On the bunk, we've got an immersion suit. Immersion suit is something used in cold water areas, so if the crew had to abandon ship,
They will put on an immersion suit and a life jacket before they go into water. It gives them hours of survivability instead of the hypothermia problems you get very quickly if you're just in your regular clothes.
With resupply, the SBX can remain at sea for well over a year. It typically meets a supply ship every 3 weeks to maintain stocks of fresh food. Drinking water is made using an onboard desalinator. Crew members rotate off every 2 months or so. Leaving the vessel requires riding in a large orange cone that gets suspended between the SBX and a supply ship.
We suspend this from the fast hook on the crane, and then we throw your bags inside the netting in the middle. You step on the footprints that are painted on the deck on there, and then you grab hold with your hands on the upright ropes. Each lift we can do a dozen. This is how you get on and off SBX from the offshore supply vessel. It's actually very safe because the transition time for getting onto it and then getting picked up is very short. So everybody throws their bags in, steps on, they pick up. You worry a lot about if you're in an in-between state and the vessel moves. Then you're not in charge of what's going on. As soon as they pick you up, then you're on a very stable SBX.
We can't take you inside the classified room that controls the missile tracking radar, but we are able to visit the bridge, where the ship's officers navigate and steer the giant vessel, which, remember, was designed to be an oil rig. Two identical stations are used to control the SBX, much like the cockpit of an airplane.
This console is a duplicate of this one, so if we have a problem with one, we've got one automatically. These are common with the oil industry. It's one of the versions that they have. And it's one that we upgraded a couple of years ago from the original ones that were on board. Electronic charting and display to assist the mate on watch.
So these are the same types of controls you'd see on an oil rig at this time?
They are. For the navigation and control, when we get on station, they'll tell the ship to stay in position, they'll give it a heading, it'll do all that automatically. The radar consoles, we've got surface search radars, we've got automatic identification systems, so each of the ships will squawk its information, so you know who's in the area, and if you need to call them on the radio, you know what the ship name is, so you can address them that way.
Could you tell us what that camera is about?
We're up on the bridge, but if you were on a Navy destroyer, you'd have bridge wings that you could walk out on to see. From here, it's still a long way. You wouldn't want to be away from the bridge that long. So we've got navigation cameras that we can train around and look to see visually what we might see on the radar. We've also got safety cameras that we can look at many of the positions on the ship. We've only got 10 engineers on board, so they stand all the watches around the clock. So you can, if you get an alert on a system, over here, the integrated monitoring and control system, we've got about 1,600 monitoring alarms and locations around the ship. If you get an indication, one of the ways, quicker than having someone run down it, is to bring up a camera and look and see what's going on down there. At the same time, somebody's headed in that direction to help.
Although the SBX has operated out of Pearl Harbor since it launched in 2005, Bob D says each port visit is put out as a competitive bid. The ship has opted for other Pacific Naval shipyards in the past.
Normally, that will be a competitive contract that's put out to all the U.S. Pacific shipyards. So the same way we went to Seattle once for maintenance, next time we come into port, I can't say that it would definitely be Hawaii. But we do enjoy the hospitality of Hawaii and the base and the support we get from the Hawaii shipyards.
Senior defense officials are also studying the possibility of permanently relocating the SBX to the U.S. Atlantic coast, but a decision is still years away. So for now, the Pearl Harbor golf ball will remain a fixture of the Oahu coastline. From the flight deck of the SBX-1, I'm Ryan Finnerty for Hawaii Public Radio.
And you can find photos from the tour of the one-of-a-kind SBX radar ship at hawaiipublicradio.org.